I have come, right, that you might have life and have it abundantly. Right. So we have this picture last week. We talked about a fountain and how, I talked about a chocolate fountain and how it drips. And I love the chocolate at the top. I love the chocolate in the middle. And I love the chocolate in the bottom. But if you have a regular water fountain, you'll see that the first thing that has to be filled is the top before it runs down to the second tier. So last week we talked about the second tier, which is like your family. And so the third tier is you go yourself, your family. The next tier is what we're going to talk about this morning, that bottom layer of the fountain. And that would represent for us, if you were to look at it that way, the people around you in your community. So I was very impressed last night with somebody in our church. We were getting ready to have a women's thing here, and I came specifically to do something, and a couple of ladies pulled up and said, "Oh, this lady's house, a tree fell, and I called my husband, don't you think you ought to go out and help him move a tree?" I said, "Well, I guess." So we went out and moved a tree, and she said, "Where are you guys from?" I said, "Oh, we're from the church down the way." So I really lucked out. It was a good idea, by the way. But I didn't see the tree fall, otherwise I would have thought of myself, okay? They saw it fell after I got to church, just clarification purposes. Anyways, what happened was we affected our neighborhood by going and working, just a few of us. So I think about just three of us that did that. If we were to add a fourth and go to somewhere else, and maybe a fifth or a sixth, as we move forward in the days to come, you're going to have an opportunity to reach your neighbors. So we have this little flyer. Do you have one of those flyers? Where's the one I licked? Uh-oh, someone's got the one I licked. No, I'm just kidding. It's sitting right there. So what I want you to do today is pray about how many of these you want to take with you. These are opportunities to invite our neighbors to trunk or treat on the 30th. Now, it's not going to interfere with their Halloween stuff. It's on the 30th. It's Sunday afternoon, right after church, right here, 3 o'clock, or 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock we're going to trunk or treat. You take that to your neighbors, and you pray about how many you want to give away. And if you want, we'll make more. The coffee machine works wonderfully. We can just keep making those as much as you take out, okay? Got it? Shirley will drive. You go with Shirley, she'll drive and drop you off at the corners. How's that work? All right. Now, picture, if you would, we're at a picnic. We're going on a boat ride. We're eating chicken. Really dark chicken, but it tasted really good. We're eating chicken, and I come home, and I'm missing, everybody knows what I'm missing when I get home, right? My keys. I've lost my keys. We found the knife. That's another part of the story. So I've lost my keys, I've lost my knife, big knife, sharp knife. Paid a lot of money to sharpen that knife, $6. So I want to make sure I find that knife, right? So about 3 days, I lose sleep over my lost keys, right? Not so much the knife, but I lose sleep over the keys. They're not in Brooks' purse. That's where we found them last time. So we still haven't found my keys. So I lost sleep for a long time over keys. So picture that, if you would. And then picture something that you've lost. And I'll tell you some of the things that were lost in the subway system in L.A. and New York. This is some of the things. They have backpacks, books, cell phones, gloves, keys, eyeglasses are pretty common. Bowling ball, dentures, these are things that are in the lost and found department, but not my keys. Underwear, a prosthetic leg. Somebody lost their lost will and testament. Somebody lost a set of x-rays. And in L.A., someone lost a human jawbone, a dental student. Sydney, Australia, they found fishing rods. They found spear guns. They found refrigerator on the subway. Probably one of those small guys, and a blow-up doll of Elvis. I don't know where that came from. But anyways, those are the things that they lost. So last year in New York, there are probably 11,000 items turned into lost and found. And in L.A., there's probably about 12,000. So needless to say that people lose things. And as Christians, we need to be concerned about lost items too. And I'm not talking about my keys. We need to be concerned about the people around us as Christians. So if you look at Matthew 18, Daniel, do we have that verse on the PowerPoint? Turn to Matthew chapter 18, verse 11, if you would. It says, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost." So today we're going to look at three parables. There are three lost parables in the Bible. The first one we're going to look at is the parable of the lost sheep. The lost sheep is a very important parable. It helps us to see how the Lord went seeking the lost. And so we'll start with this parable, and it's in Luke chapter 15, starting at verse 4. Excuse me. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven when one sinner who repents over 99 just persons who need no repentance." Listen, the key point here is that God wants us to seek those that are lost, people that are lost. And our priority needs to be on the lost around us, not on ourselves. And so the tendency in a lot of churches is to look out for ourselves rather than to look out for the lost people around us. In some ways, it makes sense, doesn't it? So we say, okay, well, if a sheep is worth, let's put it this way, if a sheep is worth $100, all right, and you have 100 sheep, math quiz, how much is that in money? 10,000? I'm going to wait as long as it takes. 10,000. It's 10,000. Okay, cool. I was just throwing a number out there. I figured somebody would get it. Surely my kids, because they're all in high school, right? No. Okay, so what happens is, you think about this. In livestock, does it make sense to go after the one that's lost? Well, let's think about what we have here. We have $9,900, and then we have $100. Now, you think, okay, well, I don't want to risk the 99 by leaving them. And that's what churches do. They say, we're going to build a little group here, and we're going to stay together. We're going to stay as a family. We don't want to worry about it, because if I turn my back on my church and I start looking for the lost, I may lose somebody else. You ever thought that way? Right? That's not what happens. How many of us, if you had $10,000, would allow a $100 bill to lay next to your car? Would you? No, absolutely not. That's how you got the $9,900 to begin with, right? So if you look at it that way, Jesus says, "What man of you," in other words, Jesus is saying, who among you in their right mind would consider such a thing? He's saying this. He says, how is it that you would lose $100 and you wouldn't go looking for it? That just doesn't make any sense to me. You would pick it up. And so the sheep are the shepherd's livelihood. You know, some of us chalk it up to the cost of doing business. Oh, we're going to lose a little bit here. You ever heard that? Oh, we're going to lose a little bit here, but we're going to gain more. Listen, the Bible doesn't tell us it's worth losing things to gain more. All right? And I've been in that situation. Sometimes it's dangerous for that one sheep to be out on their own. So we have to go get them. We have to go get them. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes you have to leave the comfort of the fireplace to go out into the world and find the lost sheep. Sometimes you have to leave that. Sometimes you have to stick your neck out. I heard a phrase one time. It says, a turtle will not go anywhere without it sticking its neck out first. Very true. Shepherds who lose their sheep go out of their way looking for them. Church, do you really care about lost people? Do you care about lost people, or are we focused on ourselves? So do we truly believe that there are people in our community who are in danger of the fires of hell, spiritual danger, and we have been put here at this location, at this time in history, to do something about that, to help them get from here to here? And that's what the Great Commission is all about. We as a church believe in the Great Commission. Matter of fact, when we do our church membership today, you're going to talk about the commitment on there is you're going to help fulfill the Great Commission, which is go into all the world. Go into all the world. You see, there's this ancient Middle East proverb that says, a heart that loves finds 1,000 ways, A heart that doesn't find a thousand excuses. And I want us to look this morning that God has placed us here in the mission of Jesus to seek and save that which is lost. And missions can be risky at times. You go out and do things in a community, it might cause a little problem because you might have to miss church on Sunday morning to do it. It might make you uncomfortable. You might have to get on your overhauls and go out and work. You might have to get some tree sap on your hands, right? So I want to watch a video. This is a church that I think that's doing it right. Let's take a look. Daniel? Wrong one. It's Cluoso, yeah, wrong one. There we go, this is it. So, are we doing it? Ask yourself, are we concerned about the lost sheep? That's our community, by the way. There are, if you were to go out today and you start walking around, you'd see people everywhere. Go to Fred Meyer, you'll see them in Fred Meyer. They're not going to church. There are some people who are lost. So, that'll bring me to the second point here. Okay, as we look at those people who are lost, we also see there's another story about the lost coin. And look at Luke chapter 15, if you would. Luke 15, starting at verse 8. We have that? Okay. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost." Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of angels and God over one sinner who repents. So here's your point this morning. God wants us to rejoice when the lost is found. We're to rejoice. We're to have this party, and great joy is what we're commanded to do. We should, both in the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin, highlight the need to be moved with emotion when something is found. I can't tell you how elated I would be if I walked out in the lobby and found my keys right now. I'm telling you, it would make me excited, except I bought a new set, so I don't really want to find him. But my point is this. How excited are you when you find your keys? I found them once in Brooke's purse. I wasn't going through Brooke's purse. She found them. And I had been missing them for a week. It was awesome. I loved it. I didn't tell anybody. I'm telling you now. She's a key thief. We found my keys, right? So we have this, and God takes that, it's broken, and he makes it better. And I think that's when we need to rejoice. When he fixes things, he takes that which is lost, and he finds it, and praise God, sometimes he allows us to be involved in the process of finding the lost coin. I love going on a treasure hunt. Very first treasure hunt I ever did when I was a kid was in my fourth grade science class or math class. I don't remember. It was fourth grade. I remember that we had a ruler and instructions, and we had to measure out. We were learning our inches and our feet. We had to measure 52 feet and 6 inches, turn 45 degrees, and then go. And I found the prize. It was a penny taped underneath the outlet on the wall. I found it. And you know, I rejoiced. And the kids all gathered around me and hoisted me on. No, they didn't do that. But it was one of those things where I just felt so wonderful because I found this thing. And you got to remember in Romans chapter 12, verse 15, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. See, for a long time, I considered that, to be the calling to do this at church. We are to rejoice when our family rejoices, and we're to weep when our family weeps. But what it's saying is when your community weeps, you weep with it. When somebody's house burns down that maybe not a part of your church, you go over there and weep with them. You help them. Rejoice with them when they get things back. So I was wrong. We should weep over the things that God weeps for, not what we think we should weep for. Listen, sometimes we see the lost, we say, you know, they deserve what they get. How horrible is that attitude? But yet, believe it or not, they think that too. They think, I deserve it. I deserve to be lost. I deserve to not get heaven because I'm such a bad person. Listen, I will tell you that is not how God believes us to be. My brother on his deathbed swore he was so bad that God would never save him because he was such a bad person and he deserved everything he was going to get. And I said to him, you know, that's not true. I said, yeah, we deserve it, but that's the great thing about God's grace. We get to experience the joy of salvation. I only hope he made that decision. But if he did, there was a party in heaven. I know it. So we should rejoice too. Let me give you a little more insight about how we should rejoice. For this woman who lost this silver coin, okay, or this coin. This coin was a day's wage. The average American today earns $161 a day. That's average. Maybe it's 2 years ago, but I think right around there. So I don't know about you, but if I lost $161, I would be so excited to find it. Wouldn't I? You bet I would. And you, this woman in the parable, she was looking for a day's wages. She was looking for all of that, and she found it. No wonder she had a party. And when a lost sheep gets found, God has a party. When a lost coin gets found, God has a party. You know what? He throws a party here every week. We're coming together to have a party. You think we have fun at fellowships? We're supposed to have fun in worship. It's okay to have fun in worship. It's okay to laugh. Some of you need to laugh more. I pay good money for jokes, and you ought to laugh at them. There you go. Get that laugh motor running. We are an extension of God's celebration every time we come together, amen? We are an extension of who God is every time we get together, every time the church down the road gets together, every time Oregon City Evangelical gets together. They're getting together to worship the same God we are and praise Jesus. We can do it at the same time. And God isn't just here. He's there as well. Because God is everywhere. Our third point comes out of Luke chapter 15. Turn there with me if you would, starting at verse 11. Okay? All right. Daniel. There we go, son. Thanks. A certain man had two sons. I have three. If he doesn't get this right, I'm only going to have two. Here we go. No, I'm just kidding. I love him. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me." So he divided them his livelihood, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far-off country, there where he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. You know, for a long time, just a side note, I always thought the prodigal son meant the guy, the dad was the prodigal, because it said it was like a parenthesis. I saw it somewhere, so I thought, I didn't know what prodigal living meant. So, quick term, prodigal means to live a life that's free and spendy. So, he was the prodigal son. He was the free and spendy son. So, but when he had spent it all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed the swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have enough bread and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, but he was still a great way off. His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." So the main point I get from that is that God wants us to keep looking for the lost. You know, we look for the lost, but we kind of finish looking for the lost. The story here is that the dad kept looking. He kept looking. He always kept an eye out for his son. Look what the scripture says. And he says, when he was still a great way off, his father saw him. And don't you think that the father was looking for him every day to come down the driveway? I can just picture him every morning getting up and going sitting on the porch, standing on the porch and looking off in the distance. Goes about his day, and then about noontime, he goes to the porch and looks again, see if he can see his son. And at nighttime, at dinner time, he comes out on the porch and looks again. He's always expecting the lost to come back. He watched for his return. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he was patient. Love is patient. If we love the lost, we'll be patient. He was kind. He kept no record of wrongs. He didn't do that. He stood there day after day, hoping and praying and never giving up. And he saw one day him coming over the horizon, and he just thinks to himself, could it be possible? Was it possible? Yeah, it's possible. It's him. It's him. It's finally him. And what a day of rejoicing. What a day of celebration. What a day of reunion. The good news is the son came back, and he was lost, and now he's back. Are you hoping and praying for the lost children in your life? Are you waiting and looking for the lost people in your life? Are we doing that every day? Are you concerned about the lost people like he was concerned about his son? It's a parable. You know what a parable is? It's almost a fictional story, but it tells a truth. It's a heavenly story with a worldly application. So I'm asking you today, are you looking actively for the lost in your life, or have you given up? I want to read a story to you. Pastor Steve was so frustrated with the pleasures of trying to encourage his church to reach out to their community. At the end of the long day, he pulled into a Taco Bell drive-thru to get something to eat. And in the silence of sitting in his car between yelling his order and the silence of waiting for the window, God whispered to him, "Open your door. I have something for you." So he opens his door. He looks out on the ground, and there was a penny laying on the ground. He picked it up. Felt a little silly. Looks at God and says, "Gee, thanks, God." But then he heard God's quiet voice speaking to him again. And he says, in the world's eyes, a lot of people are like this penny in your community. They're dirty, they're flawed, they're imperfect, and they're forgiven. Churches don't see much value in them. How many of us walk by pennies every day and never pick them up? A person who values a penny will pick it up because they know how hard it is to earn a penny, right? Though sometimes they look shabby and worthless, but not to me. Steve, to me, they look just like you. They're precious beyond measure. Tears streamed down his face that day. Steve experienced God's love that day. Steve drove home with a bag of burritos and a nasty penny, understanding the value of who he was. And you know, are we like Steve? How valuable are the people around you? You know, God wants us to seek those who are lost. He wants us to rejoice when they're found. And he wants us to keep looking. So when you set a goal for yourself, you say, hey, look, I'm gonna witness to somebody. How hard is it to actually witness to somebody? I'll tell you, it's difficult. But God wants us to do it. We're going to see a video in a little bit, not right now, after we're done with our invitation. I'm going to show you a video. It shows you how easy witnessing is, all right? But we're going to pray and have our invitation. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the opportunity today to hear about the lost coin and the lost sheep. Father, we just pray that as we look at ourselves, maybe we're the son, maybe we're the dad, I don't know. But Father, I pray that you would help us find joy in reaching the lost. Help us this morning, if we're lost, to find you. Help us to change our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand in a minute. I want to dismiss those who are getting baptized today. So gentlemen, if you're getting baptized today, I need you to head that direction. You can use those bathrooms to change in and then head down the office there. And Rodney, if you'll show them how to get into the baptistry over there. Ladies, if you'll head that way. Getting ready. All right, let's stand together, and as we stand, they'll make their way out, and this is our opportunity to make a decision to follow Christ. So maybe you need to commit yourself to Christ, maybe you need to, for the first time, maybe you need to recommit yourself. I don't know. This is your time. Let's sing together.